Lucky dip Brexit day. MPs are preparing to vote for their preferred option on how we leave or maybe stay in the EU. The Prime Minister will also meet Tory backbenchers in an effort to win them over to her deal. Where have we heard this all before? Some have suggested Theresa May must name the date she'll be quitting as Prime Minister in order to have any hope of winning MPs' approval for her deal at the third attempt. As we've been saying in the introduction this morning, what about Jacob Rees-Mogg? He's now hinting he may soon back the plan, but only as long as the DUP give it their support. So why don't you send out a message to the DUP today? The majority of people voted in Northern Ireland to remain in the EU. The DUP are saying, doesn't really matter. It was a UK-wide poll. So what do you think the DUP should do? Stick to their guns? Or U-turn? Our political correspondent, Enda McClafferty, with us this morning. And a whole range of options for these indicative votes, which the Prime Minister might ignore anyway, Enda.
Yes, Stephen, this is a bit like Brexit a la carte menu, which the MPs will chew over later today, and the Speaker will decide what dishes will be placed on this menu. But as you say, the big difficulty is that the chef in all of this, Theresa May, has already indicated that no matter what they come up with, she may refuse to cook it up because she has her own dish, of course, that not everybody likes, but she is determined to push ahead with, and she may well decide that no matter what is put on the table later today, that she's going to push ahead with her own plan regardless.
Is there any chance of you not talking about food when I'm trying not to eat?
We couldn't help it, Stephen, because that's what it feels like today. Because we've been down this road so often in recent times, and at last now, MPs are going to get a chance to, if you like, identify what dish appeals to them most and put it on the list. But as I say, it's a long way off getting that dish actually out onto the table where customers can enjoy it, because Theresa May knows that there are a lot of them that just can't stomach what she's proposing to cook up, and it leaves them, of course, wondering where this process is going to head off to next, Stephen. But it is a bizarre situation that we find ourselves now. The day before, let's not forget, the official legal date for exiting the EU, and here we are where MPs are going to decide which form of Brexit they like best. A lot of people argue this should have been day one instead of the day before we leave.
Here we are talking about Theresa May's deal. In terms of Northern Ireland, what is in Theresa May's deal that is pertinent to Northern Ireland?
Well, Theresa May has indicated that she's obviously going to have to go with the backstop because she says it's part of the withdrawal agreement, and without the withdrawal agreement there's no divorce, if you like, and then there's no progress on to the next stage of the negotiation. But she has made it very clear that as far as she's concerned, because of the backstop and the fact that there's so many people think it's unpalatable, including the DUP, that she will ensure that there are no regulatory alignment issues between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. In other words, to keep everybody as much as she can on the same page. But we know that falls very far short of what the DUP have been arguing all along, because they say it's there in legal text. Northern Ireland will be operating under very different rules and will be tied much closer to Brussels than the rest of the UK, and that is essentially a step too far for them. But it is interesting, Stephen, that grounds are starting to shift, of course, among other Brexiteers.
And essentially, with that backstop, what Theresa May has said, and I'm sure much smarter people than me would elaborate on this, but what she has said, the basics of what she said, is that Northern Ireland would keep the same regulations as the EU, and the DUP are arguing that that would create a border down the Irish Sea. Now, it would also allow Northern Ireland, some Remainers would argue, to have special status. It would allow people, maybe some businesses would want to come and set up in Northern Ireland because we would be an easy gateway into Europe from within the UK. Why wouldn't, the question this morning, why wouldn't the DUP want Northern Ireland to have a better deal than the rest of the UK? The DUP are saying they don't want any difference from the rest of the UK. Why wouldn't, a senior unionist was saying to me recently, why wouldn't they want us to have be better off than the rest of the UK? Is there any sign of the DUP wobbling, or is there, Jacob Rees-Mogg has described them as the guardians of the union?
Yes, And it was interesting, Stephen. I was in London 2 weeks ago and we were outside milling around where you get a lot of the Brexiteers and those who want to remain. And one, in fact, Brexiteer said to me that the DUP are more unionist than anybody else in the rest of the UK. And that is the flag that they're flying in this particular negotiation. But it is interesting that Jacob Rees-Mogg, while yesterday holding out the prospect that he was going to shift his position and then going to move in behind Theresa May's deal, backing it up further today in the Daily Mail in his article saying, "I'm sorry, I'm going to change my mind on this deal," but then inserting that little caveat that he wasn't going to shift as long as the DUP, they have to shift as well before he changes his position. So that's in there, and as far as he's concerned, the DUP will lead the way in terms of him moving from refusing to back this deal to backing this actual deal. And we know Boris Johnson as well, Stephen, is considering the same. He's hinted at that in the Telegraph again today and also at an event he was with last night. So the focus will most definitely be on the DUP for some of those Brexiteers to see if they are going to shift their position. But the language of late from Sammy Wilson, from Arlene Foster and for others, that nothing substantially has changed in Theresa May's deal to allow them, if you like, to move over to that other side.
And a thank you. Wayne and Warren Point. Morning, Wayne.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, Wayne. What do you think?
Well, I honestly think the DUP could end up being thrown under a bus here because they're going to have to follow Mr. Moog and all the rest of them start.
Well, Moog's saying he's going to follow them.
Well, I don't know. The way I look at it, Stephen, is basically when you're dealing with a Tory government, basically it could go anyway because they change their minds and they'll all follow suit. And the DUP, I wouldn't be surprised to end up victims of this, which wouldn't be the first time it ever happened to them. And then they've all this work for nothing. I'll still get money out of it.
What do you think we should be doing?
I honestly think they should suspend Article 50. I think they should suspend it and take a longer term to think about what is the best for everybody.
But suspend it for how long? Then the conversation would just go round and round in circles for many more. Are we not sick and to death of talking about Brexit?
I am, Stephen, but totally, yes, everybody's the same. But the fact is, it's the unknown of what the outcome is going to be. And as I often said, no one else had a deal, only Theresa May. They're all full of good ideas, but none of them have an idea. So you have two ways. If anybody has a better idea for the system, fair enough. But my argument is, basically, is all our MLAs, well, ones with the do sit in Westminster, are never out of it, and they aren't even representing the people here. Like, we're suffering as well, just on a day-to-day basis. I would like to get it done, dusted, or tell them what they're going to do and how long it's going to take it, and try to get Stormont back to work. So, basically, the people of a daily function in Northern Ireland have somebody to turn to. It's affecting us just as well. Like, at any given time, there's not one MP in Westminster has walked out and left their people standing. We have two parties who have walked out and left their people standing for 2 years.
Wayne, thank you. The commentator, Tom Kelly, joining us this morning. Morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the DUP MLA, Jim Wells. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Tom, where we at least for those people who vote for the DUP to protect the union, to protect Northern Ireland's place in the UK, it doesn't seem like the DUP are going to wobble, Tom. They're standing their ground.
Well, I think for the DUP, they probably have calculated that they can win either way, because if they take a hard line and they're voted down, certainly the Malthouse compromise plan will be voted down today, and the only deal on the table still will be the withdrawal agreement.
The Malthouse plan is Theresa May's deal without the backstop, which the EU exactly will not be accepting, correct?
Well, the Malthouse compromise is the one that they've signed up to, is the one that they're actually backing today, and that they're backing two of the motions today if they're selected.
This is the DUP you're talking about, yeah.
The DUP, yeah. But the DUP have probably calculated, you can take a hard line and you can come back and you can spin, well, we did our best, and you know, things pass, and people waking up in the morning and they're no less British than they were when the Good Friday Agreement was signed. And it's all seen as a bit of a storm in a teacup. And in reality, I think that they have probably calculated that that's what it's been about. They've taken a hard line. But ultimately, Stephen, you and I spoke about this nearly 18 months ago. The concerns of the majority of voters in this that British MPs will be most focused on are those in Britain, not those in Northern Ireland, because it's likely there'll be a general election very shortly. And it's going to be very testing because you've got a Prime Minister who has ignored. I mean, I got my email this morning about revoking Article 50. Ignoring 6 million voters is a very difficult thing to do when the polls are imminent, because there could be some kind of backlash in relation to that. So I think, you know, from a DUP point of view, play a hardball, you don't get it. It's not the worst thing in the world, because, like I say, people will wake up the following morning no less British than they were the day before.
Jim?
Well, first of all, could I just correct something that Wayne said? There weren't two parties who walked out of Stormont. There was one. The other five parties would be back in the morning if they're given the opportunity. The DUP position hasn't changed. I think it was very well articulated by Jim Shannon yesterday on Radio Ulster. We made it absolutely clear that nothing substantial has happened as regard the backstop. There has been nothing that's enforceable in law, be it a change to the actual agreement itself or some legal instrument that would enable the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland to get out of the backstop at the appropriate time. And that's still where we are. And until there's movement in that, I cannot see any set of circumstances where the party will support the present agreement, and that's just a reality. And it isn't for the want of trying. There's been numerous discussions between people like Nigel and Sammy and senior Conservative Party officials in an attempt to achieve some form of conclusion on this issue.
Politics is about compromise. So you mentioned Nigel and Sammy, Nigel Dodds, Sammy Wilson. How has the DUP shifted their position? What has the DUP compromised on in order to try to find a solution to all of this?
Well, I mean, the agreement itself, all 650 pages of it, is a compromise. And there are bits of it not everybody's particularly happy with. But the issue that's the absolute issue, the problematic issue here, is that the backstop, as we've said many times in your programme, Stephen, places Northern Ireland in a very different position to the rest of the
UK. But why don't you buy Tom Kelly's argument that people are not going to waken up any less British if this deal goes through?
Yeah, people will wake up and won't notice a huge change, but the problem is as the months and the years go by, the regulatory framework for Northern Ireland compared to the rest of the United Kingdom under a backstop is very
different. Only if the backstop kicks in. It may never kick in.
And if it never kicks in, Stephen, then why do I have to have it in statute that it's there forever? There has to be some mechanism that when the situation changes...
You'd like to hope that people can negotiate a deal in the meantime. I know, and Stephen made this point at the start, that you have, you know, we're now talking about the things we sort of talked about, or Enda McLafferty said, that at the start of this process, not the end of the process. The reality is now people will focus on a comprehensive trade deal. They will concentrate on getting access to the single market and regulatory alignment. They will concentrate on getting a customs union. These things were all said at the start. And once you have negotiated these deals, we can move on and there will not be a backstop. We just need somebody who can actually lead the country meaningfully in a way to deliver a bloody agreement.
Boris was saying last night, Boris Johnson was saying last night, Tom, that maybe Theresa May's deal should be complemented or should be contemplated, or we may not get Brexit at all.
Yeah, but I think
Do you think that's a real possibility?
Well, I think from a hardline Brexiteer's point of view, yes, because the bottom line is that the more they look at this Parliament, the Parliament has a majority against a no-deal scenario. The Parliament has a majority. If you look at all the various options that are on the table in the indicative motions, it has a majority of people who are looking for a really formidable deal. And most of them want to be close to having a customs union or access to the single market. And therefore, when they look at all of this, they're probably saying to themselves, well, look, the chances of us getting what we want are, you know, next to nil. So therefore, what Theresa May has put on the table is a better deal than absolutely no deal. And this is something that we've been saying all along, and businesses have been saying in Northern Ireland all along. Theresa May's deal is better than no deal. It has faults, but in relation to Northern Ireland, it hasn't
Why?
Been forgotten. I think it's because the bottom line is we've spent 2 years of wasting time not defining what it is we exactly want. And now that she has this massive compromise agreement, it's on the table. It's up there for people to take it or leave it. I can understand why she's not given an actual date for resigning. That Jim Wells would know, once a politician actually gives a date, they're dead in the water. And nobody will start talking to their successors. So in reality, I think that she has no choice but to keep going the way she's going, hoping that MPs will gradually move towards her. I think that's happening. I think Rees-Mogg people will see that's happening. But the DUP have never been great on the art of compromise. And that has been one of the failures in their negotiating tactics over the years. And I think we're now seeing that again, but it's on a bigger stage, and there are bigger issues at stake. And those issues concern mostly the voters in Britain and not Northern Ireland. And the two main parties are now determined to deliver what gets them off the hook. And, I mean, ultimately, the DUP have played a good game from their point of view, but the game's near over.
Jim?
Well, first of all, remember, if we did agree to the present agreement and we move on to the next stage, remember the European Union had a very, very strong card in the sense that if we don't agree to their next stage, they can whip out the backstop and say, wait, you're not going to agree, you're going to have to suffer the backstop. So they still have a very strong negotiating position, much stronger than the rest of the United Kingdom. Secondly, Tom has to remember that it's not just the DUP. He will find it very difficult to find a single unionist of any shade who supports the backstop. It happens the DUP have 10 MPs at Westminster, and we're the only unionist party represented.
I'm sorry, I have spoken to unionists who accept the backstop, and I mean, you're speaking to the wrong people, because you're not speaking to some of the farmers that I've spoken to,
or some of the
business leaders around Newry, or some of the business people in Belfast. We're making it very clear to the DUP that we want you to do the right thing by the Northern Ireland economy and jobs in Northern Ireland. This is not a time to be playing party politics.
All the political representatives in Northern Ireland, be the TUV, DUP, or UUP, or PUP, have made it absolutely clear that they see a huge constitutional threat in the form of the backstop. Now, they've all come to the same...
Well, there's the majority of MPs in the House of Commons who were Remainers at the time of the referendum, but you didn't listen to that. You don't put much store in that.
Yes, but I mean, obviously, Northern Ireland's the part of the United Kingdom most affected by the backstop. And all
and the majority of Northern Ireland voted to remain.
Yes, but I mean, I keep saying it's the...
I know, it was a UK-wide vote. But
how often do I need Parliament to say that? Well, that's what you've got to remember, and this is all about parliamentary sovereignty.
Yeah. And Antrim voted to leave, Stephen, so do we mean that five counties stay in and one leaves? That's nonsense. It was the rules on the tin, as it were, was that this vote will be taken on a UK-wide basis, and we'll accept whatever decision the people of our country make. And 17.4 million people said... We want out, the largest exercise of democracy in United Kingdom's history.
Let's take some calls. David Nanalong. Morning, David.
Yes, Stephen.
Believe you're not happy. What's up?
Well, you spent a fortnight in Jacob Reed's morgue, maybe saying the name wrong, spent all this time telling us that this was legally binding. We would leave on Friday at 11 p.m. That hasn't been changed. So
yes.
How can Parliament change, or do we just change the law whenever we take a wee notion? It doesn't make sense. Hello?
Well, they went to the EU and they got an extension, didn't they?
No, wait, stop. This was passed in British law. British law and the EU law is two different laws. This is totally illegal. By any standard, this is totally illegal. Are they going against the rule of British law in their own country? And if they are in deep, deep trouble. That's number one. Number two,
it's not
have
totally
been on
illegal.
Air for a half an hour.
Yes.
Very near.
Yes.
And I haven't heard
20.
One Remainer on yet. So your programme is very biased this morning.
Biased? You haven't heard a Remainer?
Or for a lever on yet.
A lever. You haven't heard Jim Wells,
yes.
No.
He's
whispering.
Jim Wells is somebody that's paid by you to come on your programme.
No, he's not.
And speak.
Not true. No,
he
he's
is.
Not.
Now, don't talk nonsense.
Well, don't you talk nonsense, because you're talking
you're
nonsense.
Talking, you've been talking nonsense for 2.5 years.
Well,
Two and a half years. You've been telling us we won't get medicine.
Okay.
We won't get this.
No, I haven't.
We won't get that. We won't get the
So, David.
Tell me, when's this all going to happen, Stephen?
David.
Tell the truth.
David.
And the truth is
David,
that we're in a shambles because of the crowd that's out there. And here's the thing, Stephen.
Yes.
If we were going to stay in a Remainer, we would be far better in United Ireland, because at least then we would have a voice. The way we're going to go in to remain in Britain, we will not even have a voice.
Are you a unionist?
That is terrible. That is honestly and totally, just cannot believe that intelligent people...
Are you a unionist?
No.
Right.
If you want to know what I am as classed in Northern Ireland as half and half. My mother was from
half and
Belfast,
half.
And she was a Roman Catholic.
Right.
My father was from Mourne, and he was a Protestant.
I don't want to follow up with you
so
this morning.
So therefore, I sit in the fence, but I'm not very happy with what I see.
So I hear.
Because we're, our voice is being took away, Steve.
Yes.
Our voice to change things and to say, no, we don't like this, is being took away from us by people that don't seem to think it's important.
Jim Wells?
Stephen, could I just clarify one minor issue? No elected representative that appears on your programme gets a single penny for being interviewed, and I hope you would confirm that.
Sure, David isn't listening. He's talking nonsense about you getting paid, and he won't listen to it.
Go ahead. Well, just in case anybody thinks that I or any other MLA or MP or councillor gets a single cent for being interviewed on the BBC, I want to make it absolutely clear we don't. And I can understand why David would feel concerned about that. And that's a very minor issue, but I think I welcome the opportunity to have it clarified. Yes. Secondly, you do actually have a Brexiteer on the programme. I'm very solidly and 100% in favour of Northern Ireland.
And that man accused me of talking nonsense when he was at it.
Well, it's simply not true. You do give a platform to those who are Brexiteers. You have people like Nelson O'Coughlin have it on regularly as well, and Jim Allister. So, I mean, I would be first to criticise your programme, but I wouldn't say you failed to provide a platform for Brexiteers.
Yes.
You do.
John's in Hillsborough. Morning, John.
Hello.
Good morning.
My simple, boring comment is this.
Yes.
When Ted Heath sold the EEC, I presume, to my parents, because I was 10-year-old or 11-year-old. Do you mean to say back then Ted Heath, or whoever it is, had reckoned that we were going to end up as heavily tangled for 40 years of legislation in the EU as we are now? People are talking themselves into riddles that they have no answer to. There is not one single person, and there are, as you say, there are some very, very clever people in Northern Ireland, and they still couldn't fortune tell you what is going to happen in the next 40 years to our children. Because that's really what this is about. It's our children who are going to be affected.
Tom Kelly?
Well, I mean, I support remaining, but I know I'm not going to get remain. So therefore, I'm trying to get the best deal that we can, or support the best deal that we can. And I'm doing it because of our children as well. Because if you look at all the stats that point to the majority of young people in Northern Ireland, in the UK, they want to remain within the EU. But they're not going to get that because their chance to have a second referendum has just been ruled out. Jacob Rees-Mogg can change his mind, but no one else is allowed to change their mind. People who have just come on the electoral register are not able to actually exercise their vote in this. The reality is it's young people who are most motivated to be pro-European, and I support them in that because we have no right to remove their future and their aspirations and their opportunities because we have some motivation that, you know, lies heavily on our shoulders because we have this sense of Britishness that overrides everything else. Nobody is less British because they're in the EU. Like I say, if you listened to the DUP before the Good Friday Agreement, you would have thought that Northern Ireland was going to collapse. You thought that institutions would have collapsed. You would have thought that unionists in Northern Ireland would no longer be British. That did not happen. 20 years on, that did not happen. And it will not happen by Mrs. May's withdrawal deal, remaining in the EU, or getting a better deal on the table.
Here's Brian Banger. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Stephen. All the deals that are being voted on in Westminster do not provide a proper Brexit. Norway 1.0 or 2.0 or whatever do not allow you to make your own trade deals, do not allow you to control your own borders. Okay, you're still subject to EU laws, regulation. The best thing that can happen for the UK is a hard Brexit. Okay, the DUP is literally the guardians of the universe. Okay, the UK universe as far as this Brexit deal. And they're not to be moved because a hard Brexit allows us to make a complete break from the EU and form our own laws. We can control our own borders, make our own trade deals, you know, around the world. We can control our own future, our own sovereignty. And it's fantastic. And all this talk and
did you just say the DUP
crazy.
Are the guardians of the universe?
Yeah, UK universe. Absolutely.
My goodness.
Absolutely. I mean, they're the
does
only
that give you pleasant dreams or nightmares?
We're doing well. We're doing well. They're the only ones that are not.
The thought of Jim Wells in a superhero cap and we Sammy Wilson flying through the air. and Gregory Campbell with a cape on him.
They all have capes, that's it. No, there's a glorious future for the UK outside the EU.
They should all remember I have kryptonite.
Manipulative. Okay. It's been a controlling, manipulative relationship, repressive relationship that the UK needs to completely throw off and, you know, look forward to a wonderful future. China's ready to do a trade deal. America's ready to do a trade deal. Other parts, you know, of the world want to trade with the fifth largest economy in the world. We cannot go wrong, Stephen. And the strongest position you can have in negotiating a trade deal with the EU is to come out and say, okay, we've got our $39 billion in our pocket here, you know, and everything else. You know, give us a proper trade deal, you know, or just trade under World Trade Organization rules. That's it. You know, that's the best option for us.
Okay.
It's going to be good.
Tom Kelly, Jim Wells, thank you very much.